Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
All right, here we go, live on the road, Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Lots to get to with UNLV stuff with the quarterback moving on, Matthew Sliuca. Last night was another Barry Odom radio show, so he spoke a little bit during the show. You can find that up, the entire show, at my handle, at Steve Cofield on Twitter. And conference news overnight. Maybe a little shocker for some, but when you hear the numbers, dollars and cents are kind of a big part of this thing, with all the numbers being thrown out with the conference realignment. So we'll get into that. And, of course, Thursday Night Football, you can watch it right here at Stadium Swim or inside at Circa Sports. I wore a light-colored shirt today. I am going to have that smiley face, like boob sweat, and then the smile across the stomach. So it's going to be real pleasant.
It is cool.
It's going to be something good to look at.
I like it right now. It's got little faces on there.
No, the shirt's cool. It's just I need to wear dark stuff when it's – and it is a little bit hotter than – we thought.
This is it's going to be high 90s to 100 for the next like 10 days. And I thought it was going to be last week. I was like, oh, yeah, we made it. We made it through. It's cold. It's nice. And then no. But
Vegas always gets you.
Is that called a talisman? Is that what they call that? Or
I don't know. I should look it up.
It always reminds me of Brady Bunch. You ever see that one where they get the cursed one and all these bad things start happening because they find that one on the beach or whatever?
I thought it was just like a tiki head. But
yeah,
the talisman is also featured in. Have you watched the show From?
No. It's good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty scary.
What's it about?
It's on MGM Plus, but they've been putting it on Prime, kind of hyping it up. You can watch the first two seasons, and then, of course, now season three is out, and they're like, hey, come buy it on MGM Plus. It is, I'll just say it's a horror flick.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of people who, they get into like this weird deal where they can't leave a town, and the town is haunted, and all the scary stuff basically happens at night. So you do not go out at night, and you don't even open a window. You don't even look out a window, and every house has a talisman.
All right. I got to check it
out.
At
any moment, if you get caught outside at night, you're screwed. You're dead.
Wow. Does it show how you die? Is it a mystery how people are dying, or is it?
They really haven't made it clear like what the ghouls are and why they're dying.
Oh,
to
wow.
this point.
Interesting.
It's pretty good. Yeah, give it a try.
Sounds almost as good as the Brady Bunch episode I was talking about.
A little behind.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing beats a Brady Bunch.
It's true.
Well, someone beat the Fever, and Caitlin Clark and the Sun were pretty good all year, so it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
First on Caitlin Clark in the end of the season. It's turned out to be a hell of a season for her because it turned into a war on social media over her and how good she was, and then obviously Diana Taurasi made the call. I will forever go with that. On the Olympic team, not allowed on there. You know, hey, you're never going to break my record of whatever it is, five or six golds. Yeah. It was very debated. You know, people come out of the gate. She's turning the ball over. She sucks. Overrated. She blows. Why does everyone like her? Then the racial part of it. Second half of the season, when they came back from the break, she freaking lit it up and wound up with real nice numbers. And the Fever were kind of terrible win-loss record early on, and she got them to the playoffs. So I would say season is a success. I would say that she was a success. And I would also say that the Fever may be looking for a new coach. And one of their other players has already basically said she wants to leave, so it'll be a busy offseason for Clark. But on the season itself.
Do you think that – well, first of all, I'd like to say that Cheryl Swoops is right, and Caitlin is terrible. I don't know why she's even in the league at all. She's awful. No. But, do you think it's going to help her the Fever going forward having Caitlin? Because you would think it would draw free agents and stuff like that, but is it going to scare people away because of the circus at all, you think? Or do you think that doesn't matter, they just want to play with somebody who wins?
I think it'll be a scant few who will look at it as a circus.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's her fault it's a circus, but it is, you know, it's a lot of attention that you're not used to having, and you're going to be nitpicked and probably blamed for stuff if things go wrong, and, you know, I don't know.
I mean, but that happens in the NFL. You go with a star player and you don't win, people could point the finger at you that you blew it.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you know, playing with LeBron.
Right.
Now, I think the most important thing for the women, one, is trying to win. Two, I would be very interested in being on a team where I can make lots of money. Because
yes.
They only have so much money that they pay via salary that's supposed to go up. Cap's supposed to go up. Money's coming in with TV deals in the future. But, no, I think you probably want to be on a team with Caitlin Clark because there's a spotlight that Indianapolis,
sure,
almost would never get unless they were awesome. And even at that, they probably still wouldn't get it because, frankly, I don't know that most people know who the hell is on the Lynx and who the hell is on the aforementioned Connecticut Sun. So you want to be around a star.
Yeah, the crazy thing about Caitlin, too, is, like, if you are another star – she doesn't just light up the scoreboard. She even had 9 assists and a loss last night. So it's like, you know, she's not I know Steph Curry is a great scorer, and he's technically a point guard, but he's not like the traditional what you would think point guard normally. You know, he's not like a Jason Kidd type point guard. He's more of a scorer. Caitlin's more of a – she's both. Like, she can hit from the logo and get you 10, 15 assists. So, I mean, I think that's the kind of player I'd want to play with.
Now, the other side of the game that was kind of interesting is there was a good turnout of Caitlin Clark fans. I won't even say Fever fans. Caitlin yeah. Clark fans. And, man, they've been obnoxious, many of them, not all of them. They've been obnoxious all season long. Really diehard, backing her on whatever. I mean, the latest thing was Dejanay Carrington slamming her nails, poking her nails right into her eye in game one, which has
that
been
crazy.
Which has been debated on this show. Before we get to any of it, what's your take on what you saw?
Well, you know, I things in slow motion, I know a lot of times look different than when they're in full speed, but in slow motion, it looks like she just takes her nails and jams them directly. Yeah, so, she's going straight up in the air.
Who blocks a shot, right?
Right.
You're going for a block shot. Your hand is straight up in the air.
Right.
And then on the way down, you turn it down.
She completely bends her wrist down. Yeah, exactly. Her hand down on her wrist and then just pokes it directly into her. I mean, it looked obviously intentional to me. I don't want to speak for, you know, her.
Well, I will. It looked obvious. And then she insulted all of us because she acted like she was insulted, where she's like, who would ever think I would do that? You did it.
Right.
We can see it. No one blocks a shot with your hand up to block the shot. And then the finish is, this is, honestly, it's akin to what Draymond Green does a lot of times. There was a point where Draymond Green, over the course of a season and a half,
yeah.
had kicked like five people.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, that's my natural motion on my shot.
Yeah, yeah, when he kicked people in the –
I lift my plant – I lift my right leg, my plant foot,
yeah.
and I just happen to kick multiple people in the junk.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and he actually said – and that's why we started calling him Dr. Dre, Master of Kinesiology, because he was like, you guys don't understand body movement. Like,
and then he did it to LeBron in the playoffs, and he found out, yeah, well, you don't do that.
So Dejanay tried to pull the same thing.
Right. Well, and the thing is, too, is – this isn't the first time she's given a hard foul to Caitlin Clark either, so it's not like these two haven't had some kind of, you know, some sort of history or whatever. They both said things. Well, I don't even know if Caitlin says anything, but a lot of people say things about Caitlin, and I've seen a lot of stuff about Caitlin's fans too, how she gets to get her fans in check, and I want to know how you feel about that. Like, how could she control what people who like her say? I mean, I don't really understand that, and I don't know what your feed is like, and I'm sure it's different. You know, I don't know how the algorithm works, but I get tons and tons of Caitlin hate on my feed as well when I'm looking through stuff. So it seems like it's pretty much all the way around people just talking and saying hateful stuff.
Yeah, I would say on TikTok, which I use a lot to find stories and follow stuff, that is probably 50-50 hate and support. And the support's wild and the hate is also wild.
Right. I mean, it's dumb, but I just don't understand. I see a lot of this, like, she has a responsibility to put her fans in check and all this stuff. It's like, I don't even know if she probably wouldn't even like half the people that are doing it. You know, people that are saying that kind of stuff. Like, it doesn't mean she associates with these people or knows them or anything. I mean.
Well, she kind of had a soft endorsement last week of Kamala Harris via Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she liked one of her posts.
She liked
something.
The post mentioning
right.
the vice president. And then there were people on social media who were like, I'm done with her.
I did see
F her. I'm like, okay. But what happened last night with, you know, elimination potentially happening is a bunch of people showed up, and apparently the racial stuff was out of control. There were people in the crowd who were dressed, like, really in odd fashion, like kind of cult-like support for Caitlin Clark. The Sun won the game. They won the series. Here's Alyssa Thomas afterwards saying – she's rarely seen a crowd with that much vitriol and racial stuff.
Honestly, it's been a lot of nonsense. I think in my 11-year career, I've never experienced the racial comments from the Indiana Fever fan base. We don't want to go to work every day and have social media blown up over things like that. It's uncalled for, and something needs to be done, whether it's, you know, them checking their fans or this league checking. There's no time for it anymore.
She's not serious at the end, right?
Right.
It's the internet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I spent a lot of time last night kind of surveying what was going on, one with UNLV and their conference decision.
Yeah.
But more importantly, Sluka and the story that Matthew Sluka put out, and not much of a response directly from UNLV. And as I was reading through, you know, I was getting annoyed on stuff, and I made a couple of comments to people, and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I can't stem the tide. These people don't want to have a conversation. And I also don't even know if they're people. Many of them could be just bots with some, you know, again, the algorithm and stuff punched in to react and get people worked up. And I'm like, this is uncontrollable. What a WNBA player, because Dejounte Carrington said the same thing early in the season. Like, Caitlin Clark has to do this, this, and this about her fans. First of all, I think like 80% of the people, if not 90 or 95% of the people or things or bots or whatever that are commenting are, you know, Fred927. It's like they're with fake names. Like, you don't even know if it's real. And
it's some guy in St. Petersburg, Russia, sitting there.
And those people can't be reasoned with.
Yeah, I know.
You ever try to have an argument with someone on social media, especially that you're not familiar with or seems to have a real name and photo on it, which also could be fake?
Right.
It's impossible.
I try so hard not to react or talk to anybody on social media and get in long arguments because, like you said, it's impossible, it's pointless, and you have no idea who you're arguing with. It could be literally anybody. I mean, it could be one of your friends messing with you for all you know. I mean, there's no way of knowing.
And that's the other thing. I think a lot of times people just tweet stuff for a reaction. I'm trying to think. There was a guy last night, or a person or a bot. I cannot remember the name. And I saw them. They commented on something I posted. I answered, and then they gave a smart-ass answer, which indicated to me like they didn't really want to have a discussion. And then on the same topic, on a bunch of national reporters, the person kept responding.
The same thing.
I actually wanted to write later in the night, like, hey, man, be happy that I punched down and responded to you.
Right.
And I sound like an a-hole for saying that.
Yeah.
But, like, looks like no one else cares what you have to say.
Yeah, he's fishing.
Yep. And that's what I think a lot of it is.
Yeah.
It's like, are you going to take the bait?
I was thinking about this on the way here, too. Do you think that a lot of this is because the WNBA has a lot more? Because NBA players and baseball players and NFL players talk about this all the time. Like, you go play in Boston or wherever, a city that's, you know, has people like that in it, and you're going to have Twitter just completely, it's like, you know, they say it's ridiculous David Duke stuff all over their Twitter for 3 days after they play, or sometimes in the crowd. Now that the WNBA has so many more eyes on it, I mean, these people are actually legit celebrities now, where maybe they weren't before. I think, I don't want to say it comes with it, because nobody should have to deal with that, but it kind of comes with it, right? I mean,
it does come with it, but I think with the WNBA, it goes beyond the norm. Like, racial stuff exists in all sports.
Sure.
But it's especially strong because the two people at the top of the sport, and stop arguing with me about who's at the top of the sport, Asia Wilson's awesome.
Yes.
Very few people cared about Asia before this season, and she's great. She might be an all-timer, you know, Hall of Famer down the road. What Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese brought over from their TV show over the last 2 years in college basketball was something this league has never seen. So you've got, you know, black-white supposed rivals, so that brings the racial thing to another level, and the other thing is, they're women, and I would never put a number on it, because I also don't want like toxic femininity coming back. Because you have a lot of women on social media, we think they're real, who are like, all men are terrible.
Yeah,
all men are not terrible, but lots of men, when it comes to sports, hate women. They don't want women in their timeline, and they love to lash out. They probably don't really feel comfortable with women in their, you know, their real life. They just haven't done well with them, or they've had troubles. So this is where they kind of lash out. So I actually do think what the WNBA players are getting is kind of next level beyond what we've seen before with sports.
I guess, yeah, you're right. That's a good point, bringing up the fact that, you know, the gender stuff, because obviously there's a lot of incels on Twitter and on social media who are very upset with women. They take it out on them. So I guess that the racial aspect mixed with that, and, you know, a lot of times there's homophobia involved as well, too. There's like the trifecta there of hate, I guess, that they get. So I guess that would be a little bit different than other sports. But it just seems like, you know, it's new to them, too, in a lot of ways.
I mean, I often think maybe we shouldn't even be paying attention to it.
Right.
Because, like, how much of the world is actually on social media? I think we get caught in the social media bubble.
Yeah.
I feel like a guy who's really good at that is Colin Cowherd. I think Colin's got his bits. He uses social media a little bit to come up with, you know, who's kind of the enemy, who can I tweak? That's a little bit of research. But I don't really see him programming a show around social media. And yet, if you're going to react to, in this case, Alyssa Thomas, and you're not on social media, do you have any idea what she's talking about? I mean, it is a big narrative.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, social media is not real, and I know it's hard to tell people that. I have to tell myself that sometimes, too. I'd be like, man, I got to take a step away from this for a minute. This is not real life. Nobody cares. But, yeah,
but,
I mean,
that's the part you debate, the nobody cares part, because I think people do care, and now there's more voices than ever involved in sports commentary.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it can be really mean, and it's attacking, and it can, sometimes you get doxing.
What
the hell? I forget show to show what we talk about, but what were we talking about the other day? Oh, we were talking about Dan Campbell. I mean, that's real. Some moron who goes to school with his daughter decides to put his address on social media, and then push come to shove, he's like, we can't live here anymore.
Yeah.
That's real life.
Yeah, it's
someone
true.
Is terrorizing the guy, and he's like, can't live here anymore.
I remember living in Philly, and if anybody had like an opposing team, you'd see cars like with their windows smashed in with like a Cowboy sticker on the car. Or, you know, people take sports like super seriously. And I mean, that's not funny, I guess. I'd be pissed if I came out my car was like that. But, you know, people do take sports really, really seriously. But I think a lot of times it's people that are just crazy. And even if it wasn't about sports, they would do it anyway. I mean, we have people sending politicians things in the mail. They're, you know, threatening bomb threats and all kinds of crazy stuff. So
let me get your take on another. This is a very hot internet topic, and obviously it's a heated topic in Vegas and around the Mountain West. And it's a massive, massive story for college football because, again, it loops in NIL. Lots of people think it's terrible. They think it's ruining college football. I'm here to tell you again, it alone is not ruining college football. I also don't think college football is being ruined. We're in a time period of massive changes, and most every story in college football that you don't like has to do with greed and arrogance.
Yeah.
And I'll throw in a lack of loyalty. I'll throw in a fourth thing, a lack of discipline. That wasn't a good setup. But you're a little more casual on UNLV than I am, right? I'm more tied to the program because I'm doing the sidelines. Give me what you think has happened here, what you've seen on the Sluka story, because people ask me, like, hey, what happened?
Well, I've seen so many takes and so many stories that I don't even know really what to. I mean, I've never seen a story where the two stories, the two sides are so opposite of what one side is saying that they were promised this, which a lot of people are saying a verbal agreement is not a real thing, which it actually is if you can prove it. It's just harder to prove. But if there's people in the room and you have witnesses saying, yes, they did promise this, then you could be held to a verbal agreement. Also, on UNLV's side, if there's people in the room with the coach when he was recruiting, whatever, that can say, no, he never said that on the phone call, whatever, that's different. That said, if UNLV is true, then it sounds like extortion to me. It's like all of a sudden, okay, guess what? I'm not playing next week unless you pay me $100,000, which is kind of what it sounds like now that the story's coming out. To me, that's crazy. That's just straight-up extortion, and that is the kind of thing that can ruin college football, but I don't think that has anything to do with the NIL. That's going to happen in any kind of free market. There's going to be people that try to extort, and you just got to show them it doesn't work. So hopefully somebody doesn't reward him for doing it if that's what he's doing and gives him a whole bunch of money now.
Hey, you got two stories, like you said, that – 100K was promised, you know, at the beginning of the year, basically. And Sluka says, I got none of it. I asked repeatedly, which I think is really fascinating. If you ask repeatedly and then you still started the season,
right?
Well, what are you doing? They say they only got $3,000, which to me sounds like a very familiar figure, which I'll explain. And then the other side, and this was not from UNLV, and they didn't put this out. Their statement from the athletics department was all about legal.
Sure.
Right? And they said it would be it's pay for play and it would be a violation of state law. What they haven't done is directly address Sluka's allegations. But from sources all over the place around college football, in other areas of the sports world, like the gambling world, the story seems to match up. I think TJ Moe went on, and I'll explain again who he is. He's on Jason Whitlock's show. He's one of their college football insiders. He was on yesterday. Well, TJ Moe played for Barry Odom. He said, and I played for him. I know him well. I don't believe a word out of this kid's mouth. And then he says, I didn't talk to Odom, but here's what I think happened. And he said the same exact story that has also been circulating on all these different areas I've seen and heard from, which is the kid went out on Monday, and an agent had talked to him and said, listen, your valuation, according to us right now, is $300,000. So there are reports out there, sources are saying that he went in, asked Odom for the money, said, I want that. I'll take $50,000 up front, and you guys need to pay me the rest down the road here. Otherwise, I'm not playing another snap for you. And then they separated at that point, right? They separated at that point, and I think the message from Odom was, yeah, we're not doing that. So then Sluka, from what I heard, was actually in class kind of crowing about this to other students. And he posted the message on Tuesday night, cleaned out his locker. He's gone. Now, by the way, both stories can be true.
Not really. I mean, if they promised him the money, I think they should give him the money. But if they didn't promise him the money, he just walked in there.
Well, what I'm saying is
3 weeks into the season.
What I'm saying is he and the agent Cromartie, who we'll get some comments from. Well, we have some bites on that. He told a story about talking to Sluka back at Holy Cross,
right?
And then that they made contact. They had conversations with coaches. He named one coach, but coaches. I'll tell you, sources tell me that there were coaches that this guy talked to. And then they let the $100,000 thing drag on. He was on the ground. He wasn't enrolled at UNLV, but he was on the ground here multiple times in June. He went to the spring game, which is even earlier. They let this drag out until the third game of the season. I also don't believe they complained about it repeatedly, because I don't believe for 1 second that Barry Odom would have gone into the season with this hanging over his head and named that kid starting quarterback.
And plus,
it doesn't make any sense. And I just, like, why does a player play if you've gotten almost nothing? And I'll tell you why the 3,000 sounds familiar. Many of the players on UNLV, that's their monthly stipend or NIL, however you want to differentiate it. They get 3,000 a month. So that's the 3,000 he got. Now, don't misconstrue that, because I was on SiriusXM yesterday.
Yeah.
And I did an interview. I come back and I'm like, no. I'm listening, and I'm like, that's not what I said. Because the host said every player on UNLV gets 3,000. I didn't say every. I said most. And I also didn't say that. And I actually said it in the interview. I'm like, Ricky White gets more.
Right.
He's the best player. He gets more. Right?
Sure.
So there's two sides to this.
Yeah.
UNLV really hasn't spoken out directly against Sluka. So what's happened is most national reporters have just – they're doing what they can do. They go with the kid's story. And then the reaction when I was watching last night was like, good for him. He stood up for himself. And obviously there's other people who are like, over money, you're going to quit.
Right.
No one's going to take you.
See, I've seen most of that. There's more. But
which, by the way, that's a complete misnomer, that no one will take you.
Yeah.
If you see the college football and college basketball players, you know, at the highest money levels, who have had something wrong in their past, someone will always take them. If they can help your team, someone will always take them.
You know, you brought up something, too, that I think it's a good point. If he went in there and said, I'll take 50 now, let's say he went in there like week three.
Cromartie said they asked for 50. He would take 10 a month for the next 5 months. And then he said, no, they said no, so we asked for 5 a month. They also said no.
So if they agreed to that before the season, why wouldn't he have already had the 50? You see what I mean? Why was he even playing?
So by the way, I don't even think it's realistic. If you didn't get 100 and you only got 3 and you've been asking about it, then you're like, you know what? Now I want 300. Like,
exactly.
Really?
I know. So, I mean, the Sluka story doesn't make any sense to me then, if that's the case, because then he would already have some of the money.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim on ESPN Las Vegas.
I know he wants to be out there with his teammates, but at the end of the day, I think he's standing up for himself, which every player should do. I mean, at the end of the day, players should have the right to be to get what they were told that they would be got. So I think it's a miscommunication in terms of how the collective works at UNLV and what the coaches say.
And Marcus Cromartie on SiriusXM yesterday. He's the agent for Matthew Sluka. I thought the end of that was pretty interesting, where he said UNLV has some things to work out with its collective and the coaches or the program. You know, what's interesting about Sluka, and there's a lot of interesting stories, and I'm not here to kill Matt Sluka. Like, you're not going to hear me later on when we start talking football. Like, I'm not slaughtering him like everyone else is. Unless it's never been brought to light, there weren't any issues last year with guys getting their money. There weren't any issues so far with, like I said, Ricky White's probably the highest NIL guy on the team. Haven't heard any issues on that front. And I think an even better example is, and there's this running joke out there, like, because UNLV apparently is going to get real incentivized here to stay in the Mountain West Conference. That's why part of why they agreed to do it.
Yeah.
The joke going around was, well, I guess they have money to pay the $100,000 to the quarterback. The Runner Rebel basketball program is very well funded, and guys like DJ Thomas, a star recruit locally who could have gone anywhere, has an NIL deal. Jalen Hill, who's a hometown guy, came back from Oklahoma, has an NIL deal. I think you could ask a bunch of, and some guys who left, especially the guys who left, did you get your money from the collective? And I bet you they'll tell you, yeah, all good.
Yeah.
But Matt Sluk is the guy. He's the guy. Now as this agent is saying, hey, they got some things to fix. Do they? Other players have gotten their money.
Well, it's also kind of insulting when you say it's a misunderstanding. I mean, that's the either they said it or they didn't say it. That's not a misunderstanding. You don't misunderstand $100,000 down to $3,000. I mean, either they said it to them or they didn't. Now it sounds like it's kind of waffling a little bit. Like, oh, you know, maybe we just didn't hear them correctly. I guarantee you if somebody offered me $100,000, I'd hear them exactly correctly.
Would you let 5 months go by?
No. And if I ask for 50 up front on week three, I'm going to ask for 50 up front in July if I bring it up. I'm not going to wait till the middle of almost October to ask for my money. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
This is a big spot tonight for Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
The Cowboys must right the ship. And, yeah, the Giants came out of the hole a little bit last week, showing some signs. Cowboys have to beat the Giants. But do they have everything remedied, or is this going to be a season-long issue?
Unfortunately for me as an Eagles fan, I think this is the get-right game for the Cowboys because they own the Giants. I mean, they never lose to the Giants. I have to look up the record, but I think it's something ridiculous how many times in a row they've beaten the Giants. I know it's in the – they even call it the Meadowlands anymore? Anyways, it's in MetLife Stadium somewhere.
A Jet Life Stadium.
But, yeah, I think that I was surprised by the line on – I know we're going to talk gambling later, but I was surprised – I think Cowboys are only given 5 or something like that.
It's gotten bet down, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess somebody thinks maybe the Giants have a chance, but I feel like the Cowboys are just going to roll them.
Giveaway time, 364-1100, caller 7, Perfect Circle, Primus, Pussifer. Next April, tickets are ready to go. Ready to go. They're at Ticketmaster.com, Planet Hollywood Show. You can get your tickets right now, 2 of them, from Griffin, 364-1100, caller 7.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
All right, rolling towards Xavier Pope. He's going to be up in about 10 minutes or so. Baseball down the stretch. A lot to play for, especially seedings and getting in the back end of the wild card. Did you have some epiphany as we all celebrate the monster season from Ohtani that your boy Judge might have had a better year?
You know, it's funny because I was trying not to be a homer last week, and we were watching Ohtani. He had that 10 RBI game, 3 home runs. You know, he was 50-50 club, all that stuff. But then I started looking at the numbers because I was doing some stuff from pre-show stuff for the arena, and Judge is, like, killing him in pretty much every single statistical category. And I found out he doesn't even have an error in the field this year at all, not one. So, I mean, not only does he play both ways – but he's got 30 points higher batting average, higher OPS. He's got more home runs. He's pretty much beating him in everything. I mean, he doesn't have the stolen bases, but other than that, I'm like, damn.
What does stolen bases mean? Is it just sort of a glamour stat?
As you said, the pizza boxes now, it doesn't really mean as much either, you know, with the bases.
I mean, I think it's a little easier, but still the guy's pushing 60 steals.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible what he's doing. I'm nitpicking, but.
And there's probably, I'm not a big analytics guy, there's probably a set of stats that would tell you the effect of what stolen bases do to the offense in those situations.
Sure. That's Dave Roberts and the Yankees. And
you know what's funny? I heard, because I like to listen to our sister station, Fox Sports Las Vegas and Fox Sports National. I like Covino and Rich, and they were in an argument yesterday that was very Cofield and Company-like. They were arguing over Ohtani and Judge, and Covino is a big Yankees fan.
Right.
And he gave the stat comparison was like he's having a better year, and then they all were just busting his chops.
Yankee fan.
but the anger was like growing and growing and growing, and the ball busting kept going on. I'm like, but it wasn't going anywhere. It was just going in circles. And even like we do this a lot on Cofield and Company, but as I'm listening, I'm like, I think it's funny that they're getting worked up, but like this. We're not advancing the discussion.
Yeah. Well,
Nothing's happening.
That's what I was trying to avoid. I was going to get my balls busted for being a homer, and I was just like, you know, but then I looked at it, and I'm like, wow, he really is having a better year. I don't even know, honestly, what the argument for Ohtani is that you can make besides the stolen bases. He's leading him in everything. I was surprised.
Let's give away some tickets to the Shriners Children's Open that's coming to town. 17th to the 20th of October. It's at TPC Summerlin. Awesome golfers in town. You can get your tickets up online. Call her 7364-1100, 364-1100. And then we've got VIP tickets. You don't have to win these. You can just go on your own to lvsportsnetwork.com and register to win some VIP tickets. But Shriners Children's Open is coming up in just a couple weeks. Go get your tickets.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo.
Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
I love that Xavier's here every week. Reliability, consistency. That's what we ask for. You know, it's funny. I just had a friend in Seattle asking me to go on with him tomorrow about some UNLV-related stuff. And I want to be like, nope. But I wouldn't do that because I like going on other shows. I had a college football insider today. I asked him, hey, can you do a spot today or tomorrow? I gave him seven times, and he writes back, can't do it, traveling. I'm like, for 2 days? I'm like, you didn't read, you just read, can you come on? And just,
I usually respond to somebody's text once, and then I put the do not disturb on there, so they see it, and they're like, oh, okay, it's not even a point.
EP is the best. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? Hey, listen, I am a man of commitment, and when it's time to show up, I show up. I rock with you, Steve. I rock with ESPN Las Vegas. I rock with your audience. I rock with it all. So I'm going to always show up and show out. I mean, I've shown up with teeth hanging out of my face.
I know. Your face was all blown up about a month and a half ago. Do you rock with Caitlin Clark fans?
Absolutely not. I wish the WNBA put a statement out in terms of threatening violence and the way the fans behave. A lot of people criticize them, saying that this statement should have been put out months ago by the WNBA. And some people even question whether the WNBA put this out because of Caitlin Clark's interaction with a fan. And why did the WNBA respond when there are other interactions with WNBA players? The criticism, I think that it has some merit to it. But what we shouldn't be seeing incel fans, and particularly male fans, dominating what's known as a woman's sport.
You know, that's funny you said that because we brought that up earlier about the incels on the internet and stuff like that. And that's kind of goes to my point I was going to ask you. I'm not really playing devil's advocate because I agree with most of what you said, but is some of this like you can't control it? Because there's so many lunatics on the internet, so many crazy idiots. It doesn't matter if it's sports, politics, whatever. I mean, you're always going to have these people. Like, what can possibly be done about this?
I mean, you're correct on that. But when you have some of this stuff spill into the games themselves, when social media becomes real life, then you have a problem. You know, you saw that happen with Russell Westbrook a couple of seasons ago where he was being called a brick, and then you had a fan antagonizing him on the sidelines. And so I think that there's something to be said about the WNBA making firm statements about it. It's also, unfortunately, Caitlin Clark now is in a position that people are supporting her and now being antagonistic toward other players of the WNBA. It's now her responsibility to speak out. She's done so after demurring, making general statements before. This is something she has to consistently do. And a great statements that were made on air last night by Lisa Wilson, and she said that if this is how fans are going to behave, it's better for the game to grow slower if we don't have those fans in the game.
And I also think in terms of controlling things, like, Greg, you and I talked about the internet. Like, I don't know that you can control the internet. You'll fan the flames by putting out messages about the internet. But at the arena, of course they can do something about it. They need to spend more money. They have to get security there. I will guarantee you if a player points out something they're hearing, that not only should the security go into the crowd and remove the person, they will have witnesses there who will say, that person said this. That's how you police it at the arena. Get them out.
And here's another thing, Steve. The fans that are there to support the players in the game of basketball, it's upon the league and even on some of the networks to encourage some of those fans to be witnesses to make sure fans like that don't behave in a certain way at games. Now, mind you, people will say, "Oh, these are women. People trash talk the men's game all the time." Trash talking players is one thing, but saying racist, sexist, derogatory comments at them, threatening them, is a completely different matter.
Now, that's where it gets complicated, because the racial stuff, if it's obvious and clear, that can be policed. When someone, as a reporter was saying, hey, the vibe was horrendous, they didn't feel safe, They saw someone mocking Dejanay's eyelashes. I mean, you're going to go into the crowd and go, eh, racist, get out. I mean, I think it is. Yeah. I think it probably has something to do with her race, but how do you police that?
Yeah, I think that's a tough one, Steve. That's where it's in the margin. People have the right to trash talk. And even if you think it's racist, maybe talk about her eyelashes. I think it's despicable. I don't like it. But it makes it the job harder when you're in these margins. You have people standing up and saying ban eyelashes and things of that nature. It's ridiculous. But the other players are made fun of in terms of their appearance. But when it leans over to the racist side, you want to err on the side of caution, but not taking away people's right to boo and hiss at games.
Talking to Xavier Pope, I hate the get thicker skin guy, so I don't want to be that guy. But is some of this, because I mean, I'm a nutcase myself, but is some of this like more eyes? I mean, the more eyes you have, the more idiots you're going to have type of thing. I mean, because the league is gaining so much popularity over the last couple of years that now it's kind of like, wow, they're like real big time celebrities now.
No, but it's the type of eyes that you've had, though.
Yeah.
And some of the politics that some of the eyes have had.
Right.
Coming in to watch a sport with an agenda. Even after Caitlin Clark in the Indiana FIFA gets eliminated, you see online these people are saying they're not going to watch the games anymore. And so, you know, and so they never wanted the women's game to grow, to have media broadcast rights. They never cared about it until it was one person and putting their politics and putting it behind one person. Those are the type of fans that the sport doesn't need, shouldn't want, and shouldn't invite into this game.
College football and NIL and money is in the center of the sports world, and UNLV is involved in that with this quarterback, Matthew Sluka. So I know you're watching it. I saw your take seem to back Sluka. What do you think of what happened? What do you think happened?
I mean, I don't really know what happened. I don't know whether he was promised NIL money. He didn't get it. Maybe he got the jump on some information about potential in UNLV taking $25-30 million. Maybe when their athletic department is in the tank financially to take some money to stay in the Mountain West. I don't know exactly what he felt was represented to him, but he's still, as an American, we have a freedom of contract in the Constitution. NILs are allowed to go wherever he wants. He's going to redshirt the rest of the year. You're starting to see that with a couple other guys that have done it too. And that's just what the landscape of the game looks like now, which is similar to a semi-pro game where guys are sitting out, holding out, and deciding what the best future for themselves and their family.
How do you feel about it from a legal perspective? I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, verbal versus written contract. If they can prove there's three or four witnesses either side in the room when something happens, is that binding?
Well, you have to consider what is being promised. And what potentially is offered. And I think that some of these different deals, some of them are open-ended to make sure that they are staying in a certain place in the law in terms of these type of deals. And I think that, I've seen them. I've negotiated for various clients. Some of these NIL deals are all over the place. And I know that someone criticized some of the people that are entering in NIL world and saying some of these guys are shady. And I've seen some really crappy deals, and so it's incumbent upon these guys and their families, and also women too, to be able to have proper representation around them, so that they could be in the best possible place they can to be able to further their athletic and academic careers.
Can I tell you the biggest problem with all this is not boosters, it's not collectives, it's not players. The biggest dirtbags in college football are the coaches, because they're the loudest ones whining about losing players, having to pay them, and yet they all love to go out and steal other programs' players. Almost none of them have any discipline. Very few have, you know, real scruples. They are the driving force in this, because if they stopped reaching out to other rosters to get players and offering all this money, the situation would probably calm down, but they can't control themselves.
I mean, you have the transfer portal in NIL. I mean, red shirt option. There's so many different ways in order to navigate and poach players, and whining and putting up a fuss. That's just part of the game, and that's where it is. I mean, you don't have some sort of tampering rules on the college game on a level that you have in the pro game. And I think that I know that there's a concern about constraint of trade, and some of the different lawsuits could arise from that, from some sort of tampering provision that any potential league or NCAA as a whole could make. And so to be able to kind of to relate to this, but you're going to continue to see this happen. This is just the very beginning. There are so many different outshoots of the different landscape we've seen now in college sports.
Xavier Pope on the phone, ESPN Las Vegas, Coalfield & Company. Sorry for mispronouncing your name. It wasn't on purpose. I'm just dumb. I was wondering about these guys when they go out and don't, let's say the NIL. Okay, I don't know a lot about how this works, so maybe you could tell me what's stopping these guys from going out. Like, you know, Alex Jones has fluoride, you know, toothpaste, fluoride-free toothpaste, or why can't he sell Sluka tea or, you know, some kind of shoe or something other than this and just do it that way? Why don't they change it to make them so they can make their own money?
Well, I think it's easier, right, if you have an institutional relationship.
Yeah.
To be able to secure those deals. And so I think on their own, some of these deals aren't as big as you think.
Right.
Unless you are some of the bigger names in the game. I mean, people are thinking that these guys are making a windfall, but if you have to be able to return some investment here, and like I said, I've seen some really crappy deals, and some of these deals aren't offering much at all other than, hey, they're telling you have to post on Instagram 5 times and we just want to use your name. This is kind of for exposure. And
right.
Some of these NIL deals don't even have compensation for them. They're these kind of gratis type of deals. And so that's why you need sometimes institutional support, and that's what's buffering the game up right now.
Less than a minute left. I know it looked like you were reminiscing a little bit about Derrick Rose, Chicago guy, retires, and maybe how much more there could have been in his career.
Yeah, and that conversation is Derrick Rose a Hall of Fame? Could he go to the Hall of Fame? And he's a borderline Hall of Fame candidate. He played for a long time, youngest MVP candidate, in prime Kobe, LeBron, Dirk, and KD. He won the MVP.
Yeah.
I mean, and remarkable. And if it wasn't for Tom Thibodeau leaving him in 12-point lead over the Sixers, a little bit under 2 minutes left to go in a playoff game, Derrick Rose doesn't maybe have a different career, different trajectory. And he is one of the few players you see retire that he was universally loved. You never saw a guy like him booed on any way, shape, or form in terms of any fan base. Now, the sexual assault allegations against him during his career, notwithstanding, he was universally beloved in his retirement.
Xavier, we appreciate it. Good spot. Love you, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Love you guys.
Take care, man.
There you go. Xavier Pope, right here on Coalfield & Company. 4 o'clock hours on the way. Remember, Sundays in the morning, it means JVT, Sunday morning. Or Sunday football preview show. I botched that. Over at Westgate in the Superbook, 8A to 9A show. John Murray, one of the guys from the book, is on, and you can get out there to Football Central Smoke Free Theater on Sunday mornings.